series, moving through the Sermon on the Mount. Did you mix it up a bit this morning? But before I head into it, can I just ask that mission team from Porch, will you guys quickly just stand up? Guys, can we, Matulin is al achter, daar's Donnie ook, if you want to just look around, these guys have just come back from Porch, our first youth mission team ever. Can we just give them a clap? You guys can sit down. We celebrate you, but we honor the Lord, right? That He's raising up the next generation. And these guys, you can see there's fire in their eyes. They are ready. Who's ready to go again? And then just more on missions news, that next week, please come and buy lunch at church to just support the Botswana mission team. These guys not only going to mission, they're not only going to move the people spiritually and specifically work with the children in Namibia and Botswana, but they're also actually taking things to leave at those churches. They're always fixing up, building up, and leaving them with some kind of solar thing. So we really want to just equip them up. So come and there's a special, pay for three and take one, that kind of thing, to help the mission team, if that's okay. And then lastly, there's an interesting board there at the back. You'll see it looks like the screen failed. It looked like a soccer ball went into that screen. That screen is functioning perfectly. What it actually is it's our baptism board. And each time we baptize someone in this congregation, it only started this year, otherwise it would have been full, a little light will go on to spell baptism, all right? And so every week when we come to church, we want to have faith that we'll see that board move as lives are being changed by the gospel. Amen? That's awesome. So that's what that is. Right, I want to talk this morning. I want to be a little bit more free and touch here and touch there. And I really trust that it will bless us this morning. Father, this morning, my prayer is that you will create in us a hunger to be with you, a hunger to open your word and have it just bowl us over and feed us and inspire us and guide us. I pray that we'll be so drawn to your word that we'll get hangry if we don't get there, Lord. Draw us to that place of life this morning and help giving us, each one of us, your strategies and ways to grow deeper into you. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, my goal is to make you hungry to grow in your personal relationship with the Lord. I remember when I was a student, I looked up to these pastors in Stellenbosch, and I looked up at these guys, and I always wondered, but how would these guys do quiet time? Like literally, I would think, if Pastor Fred goes, he wakes up, like what does he actually do? That's what I was thinking. Like, does he put up a song and sing and then read? Does he read and then sing? Like, not that that order is important. It's just I was curious as a student. Like, how do you get there to that place where the Lord is working through you and you're really feeding others? And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to open up a little bit what I do to you guys and share with you. And maybe it's helpful and you don't need to copy me. You don't need to be like me, but maybe there's one or two tools you can take to work it into your own life. So I want to talk about creating a clearing for connection. Now, what I mean by that is we had the privilege to be in the bush the last week, if we can show that next picture. Now, that's cool. So Reva at the milk and Talita at the Amarula. You see? just joking. Posing for a picture only. So it was open bush in Hukluwe, so there's cats killing everything that eats grass and everything in between. And this one evening, it was just one of those evenings where it just felt like everything happened. The elephants were swimming, the cheetahs made a kill, the lions are hopping on one another. And sometimes you drive for hours, you see nothing. But that night was just like, wow, everything happened. But and it's funny how all the guides, they were a little bit more on alert because it's just like things are happening all over. And so at one stage, you want to go to a place, if you've ever been on a drive like this, they like to take the company for a break. Okay, let's go for drinks. Let's rest. And what we did that night is something that we didn't do on any of the other nights. We went very high onto lookout points before that. But that night, because of all the action, they took us to a place that the habitat team cleared. Because there's high grass everywhere. And so they cleared it out around the tree so that if you park your vehicle, you could see far enough, because we're in the plains, should there be danger. And we didn't have time to go up the mountain for a view, so we went to a place that was cleared for connection. And because it was cleared, we could stop. And the guide said, you can now get out of the vehicle. And he was on alert, allowing us to connect while everything is happening in the big grass around us. Does that make sense? And what I was thinking is, sometimes in my life, I get going, I get busy, there's things happening that there's no more clearing left to connect with the Lord. It's just like this branch is coming over my quiet time and this thought is running over. And every now and then we need to stop and create a clearing again to say, whoa, let's connect with Him. And how do we do that? How do we go about that? And what do we do once we meet? And I want to talk about that this morning. As she met me for ochtend, yes, okay. Some people have their phones out booking the bush. They want to go back. Who's got a passion for the bush? It's amazing. The problem with the ocean is all the animals are under the water. So you can't see them so great. And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, this is Jesus, He departed and He went to a desolate place. Can you see what He's doing? He is creating a clearing. The disciples are here. I love them. They've got 1,000 questions. The people are here. They are lining up. They've got 1,000 needs. The Pharisees are here. They've got 1,000 accusations. Here's what I will do. I will create the clearing. And so what did He do? He went out. And there's lines and lines and lines of work. Needy people. He had compassion, but He knew how to create a clearing. We are failing ourselves. I'm just coming in here hot. If we say we are too busy. Sorry, guys. For mature disciples, it's just unbiblical. Okay, so I'm obviously coming in strong. We need to create a clearing. We need to, sometimes we just need to create, other times we need to cancel things and create. If we want to connect, we have to create a clearing. David speaks in Psalm 73. He says, I look at these other people that don't know You, Lord, and it feels like they are prospering. They are doing great. I'm a believer. It feels like I'm suffering, lacking, until I went into the sanctuary. Then I discerned, creating a clearing. Going from the place where I am constantly challenged, wondering, digesting, trying to catch all the eggs. Then I went, and then I understood, creating a clearing. Hezekiah, as a king, was threatened just before this piece. We're coming for you. We're literally just going to tear you apart. When he received this letter, this threat, and he read it, Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread that letter out, and then he prayed. Going away from the chambers, going away where everything is, he goes to his clearing, and he understands. And from there, he successfully rules and reigns, or especially in this matter. We are talking about creating a clearing for connection with Jesus. Now, The disciplines we're touching, you know this. Most of you would be able to state it. So I'm going to try and open it up and share off my own life. The first thing we have to do when we arrive at the clearing is we need to feast on God's word because it is the words from his lips. What do you do? Like typically when you park that vehicle, it's a time for connection. We're going to hear, we're going to speak, we're going to connect. We cannot hear God's voice to us with a closed Bible. It is impossible because we are left to what our emotions believes he is saying, which sometimes is right and sometimes is wrong. Who's going to help me? What's going to help me truly discern? I have to get in the word, but I have to get in the word in the right way. This is where I'm going to share a little bit from my life, and I'm going to end with a legendary mistake as well. So there's bonuses here happening. A couple of years back, I always want one of these where I diary in as I read, as I digest. My wife made me one with a beautiful picture and a scripture on it, and the scripture was this: "Your words were found, and I ate them." If we can go to that next slide. "And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." Can I just say, sometimes this is not true for me. I'm the pastor, one of them, and have been for a couple of years. Sometimes this is not true for me. Sometimes in my life, I find myself at a place where I'm not eating well and his word is not my joy. And it is when my clearing, my area of clearance has been overgrown. And it's no longer there as a sanctuary. I'm on McDonald's modes. I get a verse here. There's something there. There's a cell phone ring here. And it's just not this. I found them. I ate them. And they became to me a joy and a delight. How do we get to that place? Just go on to that next slide to give one or two more pointers. The word will guide us. It is a lamp to our path. It will give us direction and it will take us to a place, Psalm 1 verse 3, where we are cared for by the substances of God so that we are strong like trees. And sometimes we feel poor in the Lord. We feel we're lacking. So if we consume the word in the right way, we get direction and we feel, okay, we are fed in him. There's a strength. How do we get that there? The first thing, the word should be consumed rather than just read. Okay, and so we need to have imagery. That's why the Bible helps us here. The prophet says, not that he only read it, but that he ate it. And so it speaks of a way of leaning into the word that is more than just, I'm going through it line by line. And we need to talk about it. And one or two things maybe is to go slower and to go prayerfully. Here, it might be good. It might be good to have a reading plan or to go through the Bible. You say, I'm going to read one chapter and pray through it as I go. Because when you have a plan, you tend to consume the diet of Scripture in the right way. Because it was not written in a way to consume verse of the day. It's not bad. All right, if you get verse of the day, take it, use it, also eat that. But the Bible was written to give you the full picture of God by eating from one side of the table, everything there is. There's broccoli, there's meat. You know what? There's dessert. I can do all things through Christ, okay? It's there. He wants to bless us. But having a plan works better than not having a plan. And one of these helps. To take it from reading to looking at the Bible, looking at a page. Sometimes I eat it by writing down the nuggets, drawing a line, making a little circle. Remember something someone said to me that was tough for me or something I said that was wrong. And so I'm eating by taking from this and working into this. Because I don't want to read only, I want to eat. I want to consume. A couple of things still on feasting on the Bible is, then you have to go for seconds. Okay, we're talking about eating here. I know seconds. Okay, ik weet hoe het is om voor tweede te gaan. So often what will happen in the Bible, and I'll actually do a short piece that happened to me the other day, is that you read your section, maybe your reading plan, but there's something that actually jumps up at you in a different way. Like every verse, every moment, every word, every iota of God's word is true and profitable and living at all times. But you as an individual go through different things at different times. And so what the word does is it lives around you depending on where you are. And so the Spirit lifts up for you in a section what you need to go back to and eat more of. Maybe in your notebook. In your head, if the pen does not work, it doesn't go deep, as deep as when you actually put pen to it. And pen and paper works better than typing on a phone because we do it the whole day. So for some of you, your sanctuary or your clearance can actually look different than the rest of your day. This might be the only time in the rhythm of your life where you take out a pen, which means it's a moment of devotion. It's a clearance created, so consider it. Then what you do is you discern Jesus. What is this telling me about God, the section? What is Scripture saying here about God and who He is? And then lastly, I need to move on. Allow the Scripture to discern you, which means it gives you an opportunity to repent, which sometimes we treat as a bad thing, but every day we should. Every day we're course correcting. We are in the flesh. The Spirit's helping us. So as we see God in the Scripture, we say, whew, I'm not like you in that way. I want to. Will you help me? And so I'm constantly course correcting. So one morning, I'm just like struggling with a couple of things. I want to just show you how this, for example, can go down. Is everyone still with me this morning? Is this helpful? All right. So one morning, I'm just overwhelmed by 1,000 things, and I just finished D6 with a couple of these guys in church where we were reading 6 books in the Bible. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hit Romans, open Romans 1, and I'm kind of like stumbling into my place of clearance. I'm like, I have to do it now. There's 1,000 things that needs to happen today, but look, we leave our time with the Lord with more strength than what we arrive to it. And that's very important to know because it means sometimes you go in weak, sometimes you go in without energy, and sometimes you go in without feeling like it. But what happens when you leave the place of clearance is you leave in a different way. But now what the enemy, his plan is to say, I don't feel like it, I do feel weak, which is all true at that moment. But that's the very reason for getting to that place of meeting, right? So I'm reading that morning, overwhelmed by some of the stuff I must do, and I just felt overwhelmed. So I'm reading from Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And as I start to read, it just feels like words to me. It's like, yeah, it feels like Paul is just like starting like you should start, like welcome, hello, welcome. And I'm, but okay, I'm reading it, every word, Lord. Look at my devotion here. Concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness. And like Paul, no one writes sentences as long as you. Like, can you just make them shorter, please, next time when you write? And because I'm like, I need to go back and start because normally a normal person speaks a short line and then stop, but not Paul. And so I'm really struggling that morning. And then he speaks about Jesus, the Son of God through power, who is holy by his resurrection. And then something hits me. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of the faith. And right there, it jumps to me why I should be here. And I'm being overwhelmed. I'm not sure how am I going to get to everything. And the Holy Spirit takes me to a part that says, through Christ, we have received, it has been given, apostleship. In other words, your role. Okay, forget about that word, apostleship. It could be whatever your role is in the bottom. It is not worked for. It is not achieved. It is received by grace to bring about the obedience of the faith. And so what the light that goes on, oh, it's not on me. It's not on me to make church happen. It's not on me to feed everyone. It's not on me. My role is given by His grace, and through His grace, He will accomplish the obedience of the faith. And I start to eat. I'm like, okay, Lord, I know why I'm here with you this morning. And so what I discern about Him is that He's the giver of grace and the one who leads His people. And what I discern about myself is being in a place of pride, I was taking too much of that on myself. Now I'm praying, Lord, I just want to repent for wanting to take the place of the Spirit. It is weighing heavy on me. Can I just turn to you and offload that to you right now in this moment? And at that moment, I'm being refreshed. I kind of stumbled into the clearing where I met Him. But I'm starting to grow in strength that would make me ready for the rest of the day. Are you with me? Right. What about you? That was six verses in, and the food is there. Now, typically what I would do is I would read the whole chapter, but I would come back, and on that verse, I'll bring this in and work on it. You can do the same. And then this starts to happen in our life. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul. And all these wonderful, a lot of you would know this verse, but how can this be? Not without a clearing. Not without consuming, not without eating. It needs to go in. And so I want to encourage you. I hope you're getting ready. I hope you're feeling, you know, next time I'm going to go into that. This is going to be my plan. For some people, it helps to have it. One of my friends in this church had a table with a plant, and he sits with that plant and with Jesus and reads. Maybe some of you need to make a clearing in your home, make a space, a place to meet with the King. Let's go on. Oh, no, one legendary mistake. My time is running out. This is bad. Reading for information and not transformation. We can get in a rut, like, I want to know the Bible so that I can know it. And you know what? I can also show other people I know what's in it. And you know what? I'm actually reading because this other guy told me this and this. And I'm gonna read to prove him it's not helpful. It's not good for fellowship and being in the presence of the Lord. You will grow in knowledge. But the aim here is to be with our Savior, and then He will feed us. So watch out for stepping into that trap. Then, in that time, in the place we create to be with the Lord, we have God's ear through prayer. Think about that for a moment. We are made in God's image. We have mouth, ears. And so through the Bible, God speaks to us and through His Spirit. But when we pray, we speak to His ears, right? Now, it's very important. Now, for me, we're all different. We all like different stuff, okay? We get drawn to different things. I typically could sit on this long and be in prayer too short, all right? Then I have to ask myself, is it because I'm hungry maybe for more information? Is that why I'm here too long? Now, some of us, we linger in prayer for very long, and we're short on this. And so each one of us need to create a clearance to be with the Lord and have the full diet. Because what does it help? You take your wife for dinner. You take her there. You order the food. The lights, the candles are on, the music is just right, but you never speak to her. Like, why should I speak to you? This is a great place. Let's eat our food and go home. No. And so in one sense, once feasting on the word, we need to engage with him. We're taking our words to his ears. We are praying to him. And Jesus told them a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Why should we give up? Oh, we pray for things and they don't happen. Don't give up. We pray, we feel like our prayers hit the roof. Well, don't give up. We pray, but we feel other people pray better, so we want to, don't give up. So Jesus encourages each one of us to pray and not give up. And I want to help us with one or two things. Can we pray in the wrong way? Question. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Don't let people make a post with a photo and say, no matter, all prayers are the same. They're not. Okay? Let's go to that next slide. It's not hard to get it right, but we can pray in the wrong way. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even their prayers are detestable. If we allow ourselves through influences, through watching YouTube instead of reading this, we start to pray into things that's not biblical. And those prayers are ineffective. All right. The Spirit can help us, but we need to come to God in the way he needs us to come to him, not in the way we want him to be. One or two things. One can say a Christian that's got a prayer life but not in the word is like a plant lying on the paving. I mean, how do you know what to pray? How do you know how to discern your emotions? We have to move through the Bible into prayer. So, I brought something with. I didn't want to leave this on the stage because, I mean, I don't think it's a good prop. Most men haven't seen a thing like this before. There's some buttons. I really know how it works, ladies, like really. So this one works, this is the Stofsayer. It works with water. Who's got one of these? Okay. And so what it does is it takes the dust with the air. I'm not smart like this, but what I know is that thing sucks in front. Okay. And then whatever it takes, it drops in the water, which means it doesn't make a massive, like a mess, you know, with all the dust and all the chochas and they're like in the water, which is a good thing, I guess. And then you just chuck the water out. Now, in one sense, as the dust goes through the water, this thing works in the right way because it neutralizes the dust. In one sense, what we need to do is we need to take our prayers through the word. We need to layer them over the word, or we need to take our emotions, our needs, and we need to take them through the water of the word. That's where we will know how to pray. And I'm going to give you an example. I come to my time with the Lord, or I'm realizing my day, I'm really struggling with my faith. And I start to feel a little bit condemned. This has happened to me not once, many times. I'm like, Lord, I don't have faith for this. I feel bad. And it's almost like I'm feeling a little bit self-condemned that I don't feel up for a specific task and don't know how to pick myself up. What will help me? Well, God will help me through his word, and then I will pray. If I can read that next slide. It says, and Jesus said to them, if you can, all things are possible for those who believe. Jesus speaks to a father that asks for his son to be healed. And then the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And then I say, Lord, I'm just like that man. So this is me going, I love you, and I believe in you, and I know there's a faith, but today it just feels small. And you know what happens? I discern Jesus from the scripture. He's the one who helps those with little faith. And I discern myself, I am in need of faith. And instead of being condemned, I go to him and I say, can I come to you like this man today? And just ask for help. What am I doing? I'm taking my need, my context, and I'm putting it through the word. Does that make sense? Okay, now I'm going to give you an example. This is a harsh one, but it's a real one nonetheless. A friend of mine and his wife went through an extremely difficult time. When she revealed her diary, it was filled with prayers of God, prayers that she prayed to God to take her out of her marriage. She wrote, "I don't like him." There wasn't adultery. They were married a very short time. It was like 9 months. "God, make a way for me out of my marriage. God, I pray that you," at one stage, I mean, it's hard to say, it's true. I pray that he will do stuff that I can leave him. I really want out. And so for an extended period of time, she gave her prayer life to that until she went into a clearance and the Spirit says, "Here's how you're going to pray. Father, give me a heart for my husband. I don't have faith for my marriage. A little faith, but will you help me?" She prayed prayers that was unbiblical and ineffective, and then she took it through the water and they changed. Is it possible to pray in an ineffective way? Yes. Varies, I'm not sure. Read the Bible and pray your life through it, and you would do good. Amen? I know it's a graphic example, but it's a true one nonetheless. It gives us the weight. And I mean, that's our extreme, but we do that in little ways, right? In little ways. One legendary mistake, we're almost done, is in our prayer life focusing on presence and not presence. Lord, we need breakthroughs, this situation, that situation, they're all good. We must make all our requests known to God. Scripture allows for that. But firstly, prayer is about sitting in a place cleared with your God, your King, and being with Him. Presence first, presence second. And so maybe put that on your heart, and maybe each one of us can make our prayer life just a little bit better this morning. If you are new to the faith, this might give you a very good head start this morning. Last thing I want to say, and Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers," plural. Fishers, plural. The calling is solo. He calls you as an individual, but the mission is squad. We are in this together. He said to them, this is Jesus, moments before they put him on a cross, before they take him. He says to his disciples, if we can go to that next slide, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Won't you stay here with me?" And keep watch. What can they do for what is about to happen? Nothing. How effective would they be? They would fall asleep right there. They would run away. But even for that moment, can I just have another human being close that loves the Lord? And sometimes certain things will happen in your life that another person can do nothing to change that specific thing. But them being there is exercising the spiritual discipline of nearness through fellowship. And Jesus showed a need for support and connection, even in his moments. What does he do just a day before they would tear him to pieces? He's having a meal with his best friends. Fellowship. Friends. And then these people followed his example. In Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were in the Word. They were feasting on the Word. And they were devoted to fellowship. And it speaks of being devoted to something, speaks about creating a clearance for it. Yeah, but they're too busy, and disciples should be devoted to fellowship. And so other things should be cleared out, clearing out. Devoted to togetherness with others. Experiencing another human in one space that loves the Lord, for support, for prayer, and all those things. And so the third thing we have to do is we have to follow Jesus into the lives of other believers. We can put that together on that last slide. I want to ask you, creating a clearing for connection I hope it helps you and maybe opens up one or two ideas, one or two easy things. These are low-hanging fruit. These are easy things to touch and change and to really take you further and deeper into your faith. And I want to encourage you and I want to pray for you guys. Go for it. Go for it. We are a church that wants every member here to have a deep connection with the Lord. We want the members with open Bibles, not the pastor. We want you to feast, grow in prayer, and be in one another's lives. And then lastly, before we do a baptism this morning, I want to just say that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by His wounds, you have been healed. You were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. What did Jesus do? What did He accomplish when He stumbled to the cross? He was clearing a space, making a way in the thickets, putting a cross in the middle and saying, this is where we meet. This is where your life will change. He made a clearing to meet with you first before we respond in our way of meeting with Him. He's the one that cut away the thickets of sin and separation, and He was put on a tree. He says, this is where we will meet. And so this morning, maybe if you came here as a guest or as a first-time visitor, you're like, yeah, this pastor is speaking about all these spiritual disciplines. I don't even know if I believe. My message to you is, He made a way to meet with you. He loves you. He's the forgiver of sins. Can we pray this morning? Let's stand in this place. Let's create a moment of faith. I want to ask you, if we can go back to that slide with the 3 points on, I want to ask you if you would put your faith out to grow in one of these areas. Which one is pushing up for you higher than the rest? Won't you take a moment and say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow morning 6 o'clock or tomorrow morning 5 o'clock. I'm gonna just change this up a bit. I'm gonna focus on that. I just want to give you a moment to pray. And then I want to ask you, while every eye is closed this morning, if you have never committed your life to the one that made a way to be with you, we would like to pray for you this morning. We'd like to pray with you. So if you sense Him drawing you closer, calling your name, then I want to encourage you. Put out your hand and say, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, be with you forever. I'm willing to confess my sins. I'm willing to rely on your grace. This is my moment. If that's you this morning, just ask you to put up your hand very high and say, that's me. I want to commit to the Lord. Is there anyone like that here this morning that we can pray with you? Thank you so much.